Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast, located in the heart of the Black Hills. Our focus is to live, grow, love, and serve for the sole purpose to make Jesus known.
Listen, I'm not going to preach today because I've got a special guest that's going to be here today. And listen, 11 years ago, I was hired, a little Alabama boy, to come to South Dakota. And I was hired here at this church as a staff member. For about seven years, this guy spoke into my life. He poured into me, and he was a huge part. And today, he is still my friend. He is still one of the closest friends I have, and somebody I still admire to this day. So this morning, he's going to bring the word for you, all right? Some of you know him. If you don't know him, you're about to know him. But this is what I want you to do, just like we do for everybody who comes and brings the word. I want you to stand up, give the man of God honor this morning as Jared Strong comes.
Thank you, brother. Love you. Man, such an honor. It's an honor to hang out with you again this morning. For those of you that don't know me, I had the privilege of actually giving my life to Jesus in this church when I was in high school. I was born and raised here in Rapid City, and I met Jesus in this church. This church is an incredible part of my life and will always be a part of what has shaped me to be the person I am today. I later had the privilege to come back and pastor here, and we just took this crazy journey. You guys took a chance on a kid that had never been a lead pastor before, and you took a chance on me. You let me pastor, and that's when we got to get involved with the Culvers, and I just built a great friendship, and we had a ton of fun, and you guys were courageous, and we planted churches around the Black Hills, and it was an amazing journey. God did some incredible things. Today, I have the privilege, I'm a national director for our denomination, and so I live in Springfield, Missouri with my family. And for those of you that did know my family, I'll give you a quick update. My son is in college, he's a junior in college, he's studying to be a pastor, and he just got back from a missions trip in Africa, amazing kid. My daughter's 14 and she looks like she's 18, you know what I'm talking about? Like, and I've got a shotgun and a shovel and I'm ready, you know, for any boy that comes that way. My wife has begun to start a second career. She's becoming a licensed clinical counselor, so she practices on me all the time. And so so I'm getting emotionally better and more healthy. In my role that I have today, last year we planted 247 churches. It's a pretty exciting thing across the country. And I have the privilege to travel the country today, and I teach and I train pastors how to start churches and how to start other campuses. And it's just been an honor, a privilege of my life to be able to do that. But I still come back to this house, and I talk about this house all the time. I talk about Bethel all of the time because you guys were courageous enough to take a leap of faith, and we started planting some churches, and I tell your story everywhere I go. I tell your story. I tell Pastor Keith's story. I tell the story of what God has done and what is doing and is going to continue to do in this house. Anybody excited about that? But listen, I am so grateful for Pastor Keith and Lindy. You guys are just crazy amazing leaders. Can you give it up for your pastors? Come on. Good, good people. I have just talking on Palm Sunday, so this is going to kind of be a Palm Sunday message. So if you like to take notes, get out your phone or get out some piece of paper. We're going to talk about this a little bit. But as we look at the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 21. You can make your way there. But I want to give you today three thoughts about expectations. I want to give you three thoughts about expectations because there's this critical moment when Jesus enters Jerusalem and he's making a prophesied declaration that he's the Messiah. He's declaring this. All right, so we're going to go to Matthew 21, verse 1. Here's what it says. Now, when they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples telling them, "Go to the village ahead of you. Right away, you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her and unite them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you are to say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, All right, look at this verse. This is from the prophet. He said, tell the people of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, unassuming and seated on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is a prophetic fulfillment that we're seeing from Zechariah 9:9. I'm going to read it to you again because I just want you to just hear what's happening. Tell the people of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, unassuming and seated on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It's a deliberate choice of a donkey and not a war horse. He's actually making a declaration here. He is saying, I'm not coming for war. I'm coming because I'm a compassionate and just ruler. That's what he's saying. You know, I think about Palm Sunday, and this is kind of a special Sunday for me personally because 4 years ago, this very Sunday was the last sermon I ever preached to this house. It was 4 years ago this Sunday, and Pastor Keith and I were talking about it. I'm like, it just kind of hit me. I'm like, whoa, this was the last time we spoke to the congregation, and it was, and you, I don't know if you remember, there's this thing called COVID. You remember that? Ugh, right? I mean, and so we literally preached to the church on video because COVID was in play, and I think about our expectations that we have in life. I don't know if things panned out the way you wanted them to through COVID or since then or the last couple years, but we all have expectations that we build up. We build up expectations with people. We build expectations about this church. We build up expectations about our relationships, about our job, about our health. We build up expectations all the time. So everybody say expectations. And I think here in this moment when Jesus is entering Jerusalem, there's a lot of expectations. Everybody's got expectations, but they're all different. So I think for us to understand expectations a little bit better in this context, we've got to put ourselves in the shoes of some of the people that were there. So maybe you were part of the crowd. Let's say if you were part of the crowd and Jesus is entering Jerusalem, the crowds that welcomed Jesus may have been motivated by a couple factors. Here's what they could be. Some may have recognized Jesus as the messianic authority. Oh yeah, this is the promised king kind of thing. Others may have been drawn to Jesus' teachings and miracles. I mean, how many like a good miracle? Three of us, okay. I mean, Jesus was doing some amazing things, and they're like, I want to be around this guy. So they might have had some expectations. I want to see what he's going to do. Maybe you could find yourself in the camp of the religious leaders. There's a lot of religious leaders around Jerusalem at this time when Jesus is entering. They may have been more fearful of the crowds who are starting to welcome Jesus. You know, jealousy is a weird thing, you know? Oh, people are really putting attention to him. Or maybe there's the Romans. The Romans were occupying Jerusalem. They're this occupying power in Jerusalem. And they have may have been indifferent. They may have been indifferent because of who Jesus was, but they were on guard because the crowd could get volatile. And there's ordinary people. I might put myself in the ordinary camp, you know, just kind of watching from a distance. That may have been present when Jesus entered the city, but they may have had a variety of reactions. Like maybe some may have been drawn to Jesus' message of peace and compassion. Others may have been skeptical or fearful. And others may have been caught up in the excitement and the fervor of everybody getting all excited, you know, putting out palm branches and declaring Hosanna and all these different things. And then you have the disciples. They had mixed emotions probably when they're entering the city. They could have been excited or hopeful, seeing this sign that finally Jesus was going to establish his kingdom. Everybody's got different expectations. Every one of us have expectations, even still today. Say expectations. All right, so if you'd like to take notes, here's the first thought I have about this idea of expectations. Our expectations determine access. Our expectations determine access. You have all these different people groups when Jesus is entering Jerusalem. And then they have all these different expectations, but your expectations determine the access that Jesus has to your life. Jesus, in his expectations of us, is different than what we may have of him. Just like our expectations of people around us, that determines the access they have, right? There's some people you trust, right? There's some people you don't trust. And based on your perception of them, you will allow them into your life only to a limit. And our expectations do matter when it comes to Jesus. Our expectations determine the access that Jesus has to the areas of our life. Look at Matthew 21, verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They went to go get the donkey. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches and put the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those following kept shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of the Blessed of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They're shouting this. They're declaring this. They're proclaiming this, and it's clear maybe what their expectations are. But every one of us, if we put ourselves in those shoes, we have different expectations. And as they introduced them, the whole city was thrown into an uproar, it says in verse 10, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." So the question for you today is, are you the crowd? Are you the religious leaders? Are you the Romans? Are you just an ordinary person that's just kind of watching from a distance? Or are you a disciple of Jesus and you have your own set of expectations of how Jesus is going to be involved with everything in your life? See, I'm not asking about your expectations about Christianity. I'm asking about your expectations of Jesus. Those are two different things. We've seen Christianity in a bad way sometimes. We've seen bad examples. We've seen all these things. I'm asking, what's your expectations of Jesus today? What's your expectations of him as he enters your life? Because here's the thing. When we look at Jesus and we have expectations, it's going to determine the access he has into our life based on those expectations. See, Jesus doesn't work on percentages or boxes. If there's anything I've learned over my walk with Jesus, even since I've been pastored here, I'm telling you, over the years, I've learned that I've got messed up stuff in my life. I'm not perfect. Anybody relate? Good. I'm still getting counseling from my wife. It works. The reality is that he doesn't work in percentages or boxes. He doesn't want a percentage of your life. He doesn't want just one box. But my expectations have often kept Jesus in one box or just a percentage of my life. And I've learned the longer I'm walking with him and the more I have people mentoring me and challenging me in my life, the more I'm realizing that there's a lot of boxes and a lot of parts of my life I haven't let him into. Maybe you can relate to me. Because see, Jesus isn't a get out of jail card. He's, you know, but maybe he's just my Easter and Christmas guy. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he's just this enthusiastic mechanism I can use to push politics. Maybe it's just my Sunday friend. What's my expectations of Jesus? What's your expectations of Jesus? See, Jesus wants access to everything. He wants access to everything. And not only do our expectations determine access to our lives, but also we need to understand, number two is this, presumed expectations limit our understanding. Presumed expectations, they limit our understanding. Some of us like Jesus because he sounds loving and compassionate. Some of us like Jesus because it was 2,000 plus years ago, so I can make up whatever Jesus I need today. This is the Jesus I need. I just need to feel good about myself on Sunday. I mean, this is the God I need. This is my expectations of him. But I've discovered there's so much more to Jesus than just a compassionate ruler. Just a nice, loving guy that did some miracles. Matthew 21, 12. Then Jesus entered the temple. This is after he makes his entry into Jerusalem. Enters the temple area and drove out all those who were selling and buying in the temple courts and turned over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. Verse 13. And he said to them, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are turning into a den of robbers." Well, Jesus just flipped my table. I don't know if you've ever had this idea of, well, Jesus is nice here. He makes me feel good on Sundays. And, you know, I'm going to compartmentalize him. I'm just going to put him in this box. He's only going to get this percentage of my life. But we say, well, Jesus is meek and mild. Our definition of meek today is different than the biblical definition of meek. Let me put it this way. Jesus is an unmeasurable power under self-restraint. That's what meek is. It's an unmeasurable power under self-restraint. That's who Jesus is.
And we look at Jesus and we want the cute, cuddly Jesus from the manger, but there's this other Jesus who came in, and yes, he was declaring, I'm as a just ruler, a kind ruler on a donkey, but then yet in the next verses we're reading, he's flipping tables. Whoa. I thought I understood Jesus. My expectations only let me see one part of Jesus, but he wants me to see all of him. Jesus is unmeasured power under self-restraint. Now, along my journey with Jesus, my understanding of him, it's dramatically expanded. And even still today, I'm still figuring out who he is. Maybe let's start with who Jesus is not. Jesus is not a behavior modification tool. Jesus is not a behavior modification tool. He's not something you use to keep your children in line. When Jesus is watching you. Jesus is not easy. Jesus is not a song you sing to feel good. Jesus is not a baby in a manger. He's not anymore. We'll celebrate that at Christmas, but he's not that. Jesus is not a government revolutionary anarchist. Jesus is not a doomsday prepper. When we perceive, I want you to hear this. I want to read this to you. I want to get it right. When we perceive Jesus to be these types of things and others, we've limited our understanding of who he is and what he wants to be and do in our lives. When I have an expectation, it limits my understanding of him. So number one, expectations determine Jesus' access to our lives. Number two, presumed expectations limit our understanding of Jesus. Number three, hard expectations produce praise. Hard expectations produce praise. Matthew 21:14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple courts, and he healed them. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple courts, and he healed them. That's part of Jesus. Do you know that still happens today? Do you know the power of Jesus and miracles and healing still happen today? We believe that. And you're like, oh, this dude's crazy. Now, I've seen it. I'm going to tell you some stories here in a minute. But when the chief priests and the experts in the law saw the wonderful things he did and heard the children crying out in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant and said to him, do you hear what they are saying? Jesus said to them, yes, have you never heard out of the mouths of children and nursing infants, you have prepared praise for yourself. And leaving them, he went out to the city of Bethany and spent the night there. See, if you've removed the presumed expectations and you've given Jesus access to your entire life and you have the appropriate heart expectations, you will begin to praise him. You'll begin to praise him. Let me help you with this. Let me give you a couple things that Jesus is. Matter of fact, I'm just going to give you a couple of his titles from the Bible. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Redeemer. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Creator. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus is the only begotten Son. Jesus is the beloved Son. Jesus is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the head of the church. He's Almighty. He's Alpha Omega. He's Master. He's King of the Jews. He's High Priest. He's Prophet. He's Teacher. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's our Advocate. He's our Mediator. He's Judge. He's Chief Cornerstone. He's Author and Finisher of our faith. He's Lamb of God. He's Good Shepherd. He's the Word. He's the Fountain of Living Waters. He's the Rock. He's the True Vine. He's the Branch. He's the Bridegroom. He's the Dayspring. He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's the Bright and Morning Star. He's the Image of the Invisible God. He is the I Am. He's the Son of Man. He's the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He's the King of Israel, and he's the Christ. I don't know about you, but I haven't discovered all those parts of who Jesus is yet. And I want to adjust my expectations so that I'll know all the parts of Jesus and he'll all know all the parts of me. I don't know if you are like me, but there's every day I get up and I discover there's another box that I haven't yet opened to Jesus. There's another part of my life I haven't revealed to him. There's another part I'm trying to keep hidden because my expectations are of Jesus. He's only this kind of a God to me. And I've learned, and I'm still learning. There's other boxers that I got to open up for him, and other places I got to let him in. I've got to adjust my expectations. When our expectations have allowed Jesus full access, and our presumed expectations do not limit our understanding of Jesus, then our heart produces praise. Because Jesus fully knows us, and we fully know him. Sounds good, doesn't it? So what? What does that mean for me? How do I do this? How do I enact this? How do I incorporate this? Let me give you four ways to change your expectations of Jesus. Let me give you four ways. Number one, prioritize appreciation over expectations. Prioritize appreciation over expectations. Choose to appreciate who God is. Your expectations will begin to appropriately align with God. I'm telling you, I know I've used this before. If you've ever heard me before, I talk about fun sponges all the time. I mean, people that walk in and they look like death's on their face. You know, they look like they've just had a bad day. And I know life is not fair. I know life is not fair. But I'm telling you that if you prioritize appreciation of what he has done, it's going to remove expectations. Isaiah 12:4 says, at that time you will say, praise the Lord, ask him for help. Publicize his mighty acts among the nations. Make it known that he is unique. Sing to the Lord, for he has done magnificent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry out and shout for joy, O citizens of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel acts mighty among you. Find things to appreciate him about. I'm telling you, it makes a difference when we look at what we can appreciate. 2 years ago, when I moved to Springfield, Missouri, where our national office is, where I base out of now, I went to church, and one of the things I was concerned about with this new position is I have to travel a lot. So I'm on an airplane, I'm in a hotel bed all the time, it's just, and I've never had a good back, all right? And my back's just always hurt. There was times when I was, you know, I was a reserve deputy at the sheriff's office, and there was times I'd come home from a shift, and I'd have to have my wife take off my boots. My back hurts so bad. Like, it just always hurt, you know? It's just one of those things I just dealt with. I figured that's what it is. And I have scoliosis really bad. I think that contributes to it. Like, if you were to look in x-ray, I literally had a doctor here in Rapid City look at my x-ray of my back and say, wow, you have the back of a 90-year-old woman. I was like, oh, thank you so much. But like it made a perfect S, my spine did. And I go to church. It was like our first Sunday being in Springfield. And I go to church, and the pastor gets up in the pulpit, and he says, I feel like I have a word from the Lord. I feel like there's someone here that has scoliosis, and if you'll step into the aisle right now, God's going to heal you. And I'm like, sorry, everybody that's watching online just got mad. And I immediately run to the altar. And a bunch of strangers get around me and they start praying for me. And I was healed. My spine is straight. It's not an S anymore. I have no more back pain. I can travel and it doesn't hurt anymore. I'm telling you, God is amazing. I'm so appreciative of what he's done for me. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. But I'm grateful for it. And I tell that story everywhere I go. And I believe that we serve a God of miracles still today, and I am so grateful, and I want to prioritize appreciation of who he is. And even when it's hard, and even when times are tough, if I will put appreciation of what he has done for me over everything else, my expectations begin to adjust. Number two, choose conversation over expectation. Choose conversation over expectation. Talking with the Lord, not just about your needs, but what you're thankful for. I'm talking about prayer. I'm telling you, things change in prayer. The atmosphere changes in your home when you pray. Your kids' lives can change when you pray. The church changes when you pray. There's something powerful about prayer. I walk in this auditorium and I walk into the lobby, Pastor Keith, and I see I Am Revival. You are. But I'm telling you, what are your expectations about that? Are you appreciative? Are you thankful for what he's done? And are you in a place of conversation regularly with him? Are you praying? I'm telling you, pray. You talk to him, not just about what you need, but you have conversations about with him and about him and about you. When you have the conversation, your expectations begin to change. Colossians 4:2 says, be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. I need to remind myself to be grateful. I've got to remind myself of what God's capable of. I need to remind myself what God's done in my life and where he's taking me. I've got to be grateful. But that happens more when I'm in conversation with him. Number three, prioritize engagement over expectations. What I mean by this is choose to serve others. Be engaged in other people's lives. Choose to serve others, and your expectations will align with his. Choose to serve. John 12:26, if anyone wants to serve me, he must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be too. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. I'm telling you, if you make it about others, you make it about serving, it resets your expectations of Jesus. When's the last time that you did something for Jesus? When's the last time that you said, Pastor Keith, you know what? I want to serve. Where can I serve? Where can I be a part of the church? Where can I be a part of making a life change? Where can I be a part of making a difference in somebody's life? Where can I engage in the conversation and the connection with other human beings? It'll change your expectations. Number four, choose connecting over expectations. Allow yourself to be in community. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I don't have the privilege to pastor a church today because I travel the country and I train other pastors. But when I'm home, I'm serving in my church. I'm on the prayer team. I'm on the baptism team. And you know what? My expectations change every time I do it. My expectations of Jesus change every time. I've seen miracles. I've seen signs and wonders. I'm a part of a church right now that, I mean, this. You want to talk about revival, Pastor Keith? It's happening. We're seeing thousands of miracles. And I've watched it with my own eyes. And I get to be a part of a community of believers because I don't want to forsake the fellowship. I want to be in it. I want to be around it. And you know what? People are messy. I know. People are going to disappoint you. I'm sure if I was your pastor at one point in history here, I disappointed you. I know I did. But you know what? The body of Christ is forgiving and we're loving and we want to be in community together. Not just serving, but we need to be in relationship together. I'm so glad that Keith and I get to talk. I'm so glad that I get to talk to other leaders and other believers in the kingdom. I'm so glad that I'm not alone. And if you feel alone and you want to change the expectations of Jesus, then get in community. Listen, would you bow your head with me for a moment? This is just to remove distractions and just maybe just take inventory of your own heart. What boxes have you not let Jesus into? What parts of your life have, because of your expectations of him, you've not let him into everything? Maybe today, this Palm Sunday, when he makes this great declarative entry into Jerusalem, maybe you've never let him at all into your life. If you're here today or you're watching online and you've never allowed Jesus to be a part of your life, or maybe you've just pushed him out completely in recent years or months, it's time to let him back in. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. If you just want to let Jesus back into your life, would you put up your hand? I want to pray for you. surround the room. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? If you put up your hand, you're watching online, we're just going to pray a prayer together. Just, again, it's just got to mean something from our heart. We've got to let him in. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my past. Forgive me of pushing you away. I let you in. I let all of you in to all of my life. Help me to live for you. Help me to honor you. And help me to always let you in every season of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, some of you prayed that prayer, and I would encourage you to talk to Pastor Keith or talk to one of the pastors here if you prayed that prayer. Talk to Joey there in the back. Listen, I'm on a journey, you're on a journey, and the journey gets better when our expectations of Jesus change. So would you stand with me? I just want to pray for our expectations as believers. I'm going to turn over to Pastor Keith. Father in heaven, I thank you that you are gracious to us and allow us to adjust our expectations as we grow in you. Lord, I pray that we will let you into every part of our lives because we want you to have full access. So God, help us to live for you. Help us to honor you and help us to change and adjust our expectations of you. Lord, help us to be engaged in the church. Help us to pray and help us to appreciate what you've done in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like to learn more about our church or give to our ministry, please visit our website at bethel.ag.